Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
This month, Streaming Things is brought to you by our super Patreon supporters, Chester Copperpot, Jade, Jillian Morgan, Aaron Layton, Andrew Gray, Casey McCain, Crystal Trujillo, Jen Robinson, John Collins, Kalisha Reeves, Kate, Kiki Newton, and Will Nash.
Bow, you shits!
The real war isn't between a few squabbling houses. It's between the living and the dead.
Winter is coming.
Why are all the gods such vicious cunts?
Chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder.
I'm the shield that guards the realms of men.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I drink and I know things.
You're the worst shit in the Seven Kingdoms!
Death is the enemy. The first enemy and the last.
I am the god of jits and wine.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, first of its name.
The podcast of the first men, as in Roynar.
Long may it reign.
Our titles are so long, it's hard. Without a herald. We need a herald.
We do. A bard, maybe.
Just to sing our intro. Mm-hmm.
He'd be like, hello, my name's Pip. What are we doing?
I'm a little dog.
Pippin would be a good herald.
Don't make me say it, Yelgrash.
Don't make me say it.
But you're the herald. No.
No. No.
So we're going to be talking about House of the Dragon, Episode 6. We just finished watching it a few mere moments ago, and we'll give our overall thoughts on the episode, then do a play-by-play, a scene-by-scene, a breakdown, teleprompter style, if you will. And we have a section called Dragon Eggs, where we talk about maybe tidbits of lore from the books that we could spot or find out, maybe a little references to the Game of Thrones show if we can, things like that. After that, we have a segment called Valyrian Steel, where we pick our three favorite moments or scenes from the episode each. And then finally... we'll end with the Mummer's Dragon, where we talk about our favorite performance of the episode. Are you ready?
I'm so ready
for the tourney of the podcast.
First off, Andy, welcome back to the pod.
Thanks, friends. I'm happy to be back. I'm sad. Got a little penny sized hole in my heart. And that sucks. Been a weird week. Missed my girl real bad, but I'm happy to be back.
And we're happy to have you, buddy.
Good to have you here.
It's not the same without you looking across me, across this table.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can see your eyes, but not quite your face because the camera's blocking.
Right.
It's quite different. There is one less person.
Mathematically, yes.
We are missing a third.
We get a lot of well wishes from listeners on.
Yeah, a lot of people wrote, and thank you so much for that. It's helpful to have people say that they miss hearing Miss Penny in the background, her little scuffling feet, her random barking sometimes. There was one episode where she went, we were like right at the end of the recording and it was perfect.
I remember that was funny.
So may she live in our memories and in our episodes.
Long may she reign.
One of my favorite Penny memories was we were doing a Patreon shout out at the end and you were doing some sort of voice, I think, where you're reading all the, maybe it was like the baby, I don't know, but you're like, you're making these noises and Penny was getting so fucking excited because you were using your Penny, you know, baby talk voice. Yeah. And she's like, me.
What do you want me to do?
Me.
I'm your little girl.
She was getting so stoked.
You talk to me like that.
What do you need me to do?
I want the treats. Whatever you want, give them to me. I'll do it.
Yeah. She's my girl. I miss her.
Well, we just finished episode 6 of House of the Dragon. It's titled The Princess and the Queen, of course, in reference to Princess Rhaenyra and Queen Alicent.
Oh, I just got that.
The titular queen and the titular princess. Yes. I don't so much like that, but that's a fact. That's a phrase I can use.
Yes, it is.
So let's do our overall thoughts. Steve, what did you think about episode 6?
This was a very interesting episode because this is the biggest time jump, as it were, we've seen yet in a show full of time jumps. But this one was especially significant because this is where we get the new actresses coming in, Olivia Cooke and Emma Darcy, replacing the other two. And this was they had a high hurdle to climb, right? Because those are some big shoes for these actresses to fill, because the youngins were crushing it, right? They were really coming into their own at the very end of their tenure here. But overall, I think this episode was like one big reset button where we got to see a lot of relationships have since been introduced, changed, altered within the 10-year gap between this episode and the previous episode. There are new children. There's
a lot going on.
There's a lot of catching up. It's like a very hard reset almost, where it's like, okay, you got the backstory. You got the hors d'oeuvres, the appetizers for what the real show is about. And now this is episode 1 of actual House of Dragons.
The dance is about to begin.
The music's starting up and that dance is about to begin.
Turn down for what? And then that's that's the dance with dragons.
And it's fucking Laris Strong just like doing the Dougie.
Teach me, Laris, how to Dougie. Andy, don't make me say it, your gosh.
Don't make me say it. Andy, do you know how to Dougie? And also, what did you think about this?
I do not know how to Dougie, but now I'm going to learn in time for the next episode.
We'll get Laris to teach you.
Mm-hmm. I will. He's got a club foot, but he Dougie's hard.
Is that why he's rocking the cane?
Yes. Laris the club foot is his nickname. It's kind of rude.
Yeah.
I'd be like if they were like Chris, the bald one, not Baldwin.
Or Steve, the crooked dick.
Of the nine toes.
How did you know?
Laris knows all.
So no, I don't yet know how to Dougie. But I thought that this episode was fantastic. It was a big hurdle. It was a big change. And I am going to miss the actresses that played Rhaenyra and Alicent, respectively. I think that they were both fantastic. And I think it's a testament to the casting that it felt like it picked up right where they left off. And there wasn't really any kind of like, ooh, that doesn't seem like that. She would say that, you know, it really felt like just a continuation of the characters.
The people 10 years later. And can we talk about how much, you know, Rhaenyra, the older actress, Emma Darcy, looks like Queen Emma Targaryen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She looks just like her.
Yeah. Fantastic casting in that regard.
But. Yeah. Extremely good casting. I will say that this episode, introduced a whole lot of new people real quick, and someone who's like middlingly familiar with the lore, like still reading it. It was a lot to take in pretty quickly, but again, they do a really good job of like establishing who people are, what the dynamics they have between each other are, even if you're meeting them for the first time and first and last time. I thought that they did it really well. And this felt like now the pieces are really set and let's go.
Yes.
So what'd you think?
I loved it. I love this show so fucking much. I love this world. I think Emma Darcy and Olivia Cooke crushed it. I was only familiar with Olivia Cooke from Ready Player One. And I know that I'm not familiar with Emma Darcy at all, but she was phenomenal. And I do miss Millie Alcock and Emily Carey a lot. But they carried the torch more than carried the torch. I should say this episode was written by Sarah Hess, who wrote and produced some of the episodes of Orange is the New Black. She wrote a lot of episodes of Deadwood. And I think she worked on House as well.
House.
Wow. Got a good pedigree. She wrote two episodes of this season.
It's a pretty diverse pedigree.
It is. Yeah. It is. But I'm glad that they got female writers in for, especially we're getting multiple visceral child labor scenes and things like that. So that's clutch.
Just one minor annoyance is that these four actresses who play Alicent and Rhaenyra, they are way too far down on the IMDb list of actors on the show. You like have to fucking scroll. Well,
it's like when we did Rings of Power Friday, Owen Arthur is like 30 people down.
It's ridiculous. Like, I don't know why Lara Strong is above any of these four actresses.
Maybe it's, no, it wouldn't be order of appearance. No, there's no rhyme or reason. It's a fucking atrocity.
Yeah.
And we will go to war. I'm wearing my green dress over this IMDb.
I mean, no shade against Fabian Frankel, who plays Sir Criston Cole, but why is he fourth billed on IMDb?
Maybe they have it listed in terms of most punchable face. No, because Matt Smith's number two.
Oh, God. I mean, arguably.
That is a kissable face.
It could be acting credits or something, because, you know, you got Graham McTavish at number five. So,
oh, they've been in more things, so they get to have more.
Is it number of episodes? Because, like, Criston Cole's going to be in all of them.
No, the top 10 all have. Yeah, it is in a number of episodes as well, Steve.
Still, that's I feel like that's a huge oversight.
Yeah, like your leads.
Like Graham McTavish is ahead of all four of these lead women.
Oh, well, I think it is just number of episodes, and then within each number of episodes, prominence of actor, because Patty Considine probably has more credits than anybody.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought the episode was very well done. Like you guys have both said, the dance with the dragons is about to begin fully, and that is understood. We get some very interesting choices, not so much some full departures from the novel, but some just filling in the blanks creatively, like they've been doing throughout. And it's always a treat when they do that. We got lots of good lore tidbits for the listeners, and perhaps for, you know, maybe it might help Andy. I wanted to run down the children real quick, you know, so that people understand what's what when we do the play by play.
Are we going to do an episode of Maury right now? Who is the father?
You are not the father.
Yes!
Queen Alicent has three children by King Viserys. The first is Aegon, and her second born
Mike
is
Wheeler.
Aegon.
The punchable face. Punchable face is at the top of the list.
Yes, this is an order of punchable faces as well. His Mike Wheeler looking ass. Aemond is her second, and her daughter Helaena is her third.
Is Helaena the one that said she was being all dreamy and like, he'll need to
have it's got 47 eyes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The union of Daemon Targaryen and Laena Valyrian. They have two daughters, Baela and Rhaena, and a stillborn son in this episode. And then Rhaenyra also has three children of questionable parentage, perhaps.
Maybe.
And her kids are Jacaerys, Lucerys, and Joffrey, who's born in this episode.
And Jacaerys Jacaerys? I think it's Jacaerys.
Yeah.
Jace.
Jace, yeah.
Again,
Jace is the heir to her.
Correct.
Yes.
That is her oldest child. And I always pronounce these names how I read them in my head for years, so it's always tough. But
sure, yeah.
To correct me, because I'll do that a lot throughout this show, as I already have done. So I thought that might be useful to folks, because not that quick rundown was maybe any more helpful than watching the show, but maybe it was nice to hear.
Yeah.
On a once over.
Yeah.
But let's start the recap. So we start off with Emma Darcy taking over the role of Rhaenyra Targaryen. It opens with Rhaenyra in labor. And right away, again, the other labor scene that we've gotten this season was brutal. It was a C-section without anesthesia, but this was rough too. The sound design. They left all the squelching and I'm glad, like, make it as real as possible. Be honest about it. I saw a lot of opinions, and again, this isn't for me to say either way, cause I'm just a dude. But I saw a lot of women online that were like a little like, that was too much. I didn't need to see that. I have PTSD. I had a C-section and I can understand that. But then I saw a lot of women that appreciated the honesty of it as well. Childbirth in film is one thing that is almost never handled correctly, cause it's always like push. And then a woman like, comically just cursing out her husband, get the fuck away from me. You did this to me. And then the baby's here. Everybody's happy. Right.
Yeah.
Whereas it can be 12, 24, 36, 48 hours of straight misery. And that the man doesn't have to deal with only about 2% of that. So, you know, I like that the show is attempting to kind of, accurately portray that.
Took a spear in the shoulder once.
Yeah, my deepest sympathies. And it's a boy again. Her third boy is born. And immediately the maid runs in. The queen requests to see the baby immediately, which is the Queen Alison's asshole way of trying to test Rhaenyra and knowing that she can hardly walk. She could easily visit her. Why does she want to see the baby anyway? We know why. She wants to see if it's Harwin's. But also she wants to, you know, make life miserable for Rhaenyra. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been a champion of Alison Hightower throughout in the sense that I'm aware that Fire and Blood was written as propaganda against the Hightowers, or at least by the, you know, one side of the argument. And I love that the show has shown so much sympathy for Alison Hightower because she's just completely hateable in the book, in my estimation.
Mm-hmm. This was a pretty hateable
book. But this moment I was like, there's the book, Alison.
Yeah, there's the book Alison really kind of shines through in this episode. Like
but they also show a couple sides that I'm really proud of them for.
That's the great thing about the show is she's a very multifaceted character where like she's not all evil, not all bad and mean. You understand where she's coming from, but there were a couple like dickish moments from her in this episode. It's like, come on, girl, what are you doing?
And this is probably the top of that cake. And against all believability, credulity, if you will, Rhaenyra goes. She immediately stands up. Dripping after birth and, you know, presumably needing many stitches as often happens, presumably. Yeah. God knows what's going on down there.
Yeah.
And just walking. And there's this. I loved it. I loved it because we get a long take, a just tracking shot of her slowly going up to Queen Alison's chambers. She meets her husband, Laenor, at some point. He's like, hey, yay, you did
it. I heard it's a boy.
Good job.
Did it hurt?
Was it terribly painful?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took a lance to the shoulder once.
And all of these like fucking suck up douchebag lords being like, let me be the first to congratulate you, princess.
That was Lord Caswell. Mm-hmm. We will not be seeing the last of him.
Lord Caswell.
Caswell, yeah.
Yep. And she's so stubborn. Again, he's like, a boy, well done. Schnucks. Way to do it.
Way to do it,
girl. I didn't even help.
He's got a little pecker.
I didn't even help sire the child, but way to go. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. They run into Sir Criston Cole on the way, and he's like, icily. Nice baby.
I was honestly a little disappointed in the run-in with Criston Cole. Like, I guess it works in the context of the show happening like 10 years since the last episode, sure. But I was expecting there was going to be some like confrontation with like, at least maybe even a stern look or two from Laenor to Cole. Cause like you killed the guy I love, dude.
That's true.
Like you, fuck you. I hate, why are you still in that cloak? Like, why are you still working here? Mm-hmm. And,
I didn't think about it from Laenor's perspective.
And you don't even see Laenor because the shot is like from behind them. So you don't even really get to see his perspective, but you get to see
Cole
being a hurt ass bitch.
He was shooting daggers.
Yeah. He was shooting daggers at him.
Do you think whenever like Criston Cole exits a scene, he immediately turns on like Dashboard Confessional or some other sort of emo band?
Yeah. Tonight will be the night that I will fall for you. Over again. It's Criston, turn it down. Sorry, my queen.
Just listening to my gems.
I'm just weeping.
Have you heard of the band Cursive?
I'm in my...
When I was a young boy.
Yeah. He's in there with the Black Parade popping off. And then we see Olivia Cooke as Alicent Hightower. She's standing regally at the window and immediately, beautifully, is so polite and diplomatic. Oh, you shouldn't have come.
You should be resting.
I would have come to you. Have a seat. I'll get a cushion for you to sit upon. No, I insist.
Here's a bucket.
And they're playing this game now. Now, this is the Game of Thrones. So they're going to both act like they don't fucking hate each other and they don't know exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. The shit that we love.
Don't make me say it, your grace.
Don't make me say it, your grace. Here's a bucket. And Viserys is hideous. He comes in. I mean, I'm just being real.
He's got an arm off.
Yeah. Holy shit. Rhaenyra starts vomiting as soon as he walks in. He looks like the fucking crab feeder's long lost cousin. He's got like six hairs, super long ones. He looks like, did you guys see the horror movie X?
I have. It's awesome.
Well, Viserys looked like Pearl, like the older version from the X movie.
Yeah,
like he's just coming in like. So he's not doing well health wise, but we knew that. I'm surprised he made 10 years. He made it 10.
One of my favorite memes of him is they have that picture of him smiling in his wheelchair, and it they have the Fallout HUD where he's like, "Hey, smooth skin, how you doing?" Because he looks just like one of the ghouls from Fallout. Yeah. Hey, smooth skin.
And he looks at the baby and he's like, oh, he's got his father's nose, talking about Leonor. And Leonor's like, ha, 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 no way. Everybody has an awkward glance. Looks like you.
He's like, oh, fuck, he does. Oh, yeah. And then he's got brown hair.
There's a long, awkward exchange where Viserys is like the dumb guy who's always trying to just poor guy. He's just trying to be a family. Happy. Yeah. Everybody just be happy, man. Being a king sucks. I'm going to go play with my Legos.
I'm literally melting. Why can't you all stop fighting?
I'm going to die at any moment. I think I died a long time ago and I just don't know yet.
Yeah.
And you guys should probably admit you're going to miss me.
Yeah, my body died a long time ago, but my soul hasn't gotten the memo, so I'm just puppeteering this meat.
Yeah, it's like Weekend at Bernie's, Westerosi style.
Yeah.
And then the next scene, we see Laenor escorting the baby and Rhaenyra out, and there's like this long trail of blood behind her.
Oh, you did? I did like the part where Viserys actually goes to Rhaenyra and was like, hey, was it okay? Like just showing like it seems like their relationship has
he still loves his daughter.
Has been mended.
That's his heir.
He's very
what could go wrong
loving about her. He's like, was it awful? Was it awful? And she's like, I think I might have called the midwife a cunt. And he's like, I would too.
Yeah, she is actually.
And then Alicent has this really, really like sharp dig at Laenor where she's like, you keep trying, man. Maybe one of these, maybe sometime
it's gonna look like you eventually.
Look like you. Yeah, like shit.
Maybe if you put it in the other hole.
Maybe.
Sorry, I was hesitating. I was like, do I? I do.
Yeah.
I choose violence.
I do. And the next scene, Harwin is in there and he has escorted Rhaenyra and Laenor's children, wink, wink, back to the apartments or whatever, the royal apartments from the dragon pit. And he's very interested in seeing the new baby for some reason. Nobody knows why.
No one knows why.
Why is he so fond of these children?
Oh, I was just hanging out and I heard there was a baby.
In the neighborhood and thought, brown hair.
Another son?
This is a very strong boy you've had here, Rhaenyra. Looks like it's going to be a strong man one day. Laenor's like, I know it's yours.
I want to Harwin their heart.
Your puns are getting worse, my lord. I'm drunk. And then we find out he's the commander of the city watch, position that Daemon Targaryen once held. And then in the next scene, do you guys want to talk about anything more in the apartments?
It's a nice apartment. I'm loving the space.
Soho. Yeah.
Yeah. Really? Probably the rent is ghastly.
All about location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not a good area of town. It's close to Flea Bottom.
Yeah.
I meant the scene, not the apartments themselves.
Oh, sorry. I've been watching too much, House Hunters, you know,
Property Brothers. Is that your style?
And we cut. She's a queen and he's a professional dog trainer. Their budget is 20,000 million.
20,000 golden dragons.
He wants a unit with a view. She wants free Wi-Fi.
She wants her uncle. This is weird.
Let's show him three places that don't have all three wants.
I feel like I'm at the dentist right now. They always put on Property Brothers.
Really?
Yeah.
I watched so much of that at the bank, dude.
All these little institutions is where we watch it. We cut the next scene's in the dragon pit itself, which we don't get to see much of. And we get to meet the dragon Vermax, which is awesome. I believe Vermax is ridden by
Jaehaerys.
Is it Jaehaerys?
Jaehaerys. I wrote Jaehaerys, but yes, I meant Jaehaerys.
I thought it was
Jace.
I thought it was Lucerys. I thought it was Lucerys, but it could be. I don't recall.
Are these spoilers?
Well, no, in that scene, he's being given to it. Yeah.
His baby.
He's like training how to command it and stuff like that. And it's just the scene where we get Alicent's children, Aegon and Aemon, with Rhaenyra's children. They seem to be getting along, except that they're all teasing Alicent's second born, Aemon. Yeah. They give him the pink dread.
You know, it is mean to bully your other children, but the pink dread.
That was funny.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. I don't condone bullying at all, but from a fictional perspective.
But if you're bullying, if your bullying has some creative influences to it and to that level, it's like, okay, that kid kind of deserves
especially
it.
If you're going to be Mike Wheeler face's brother, you know, you're going to get bullied.
Yeah. Why aren't they picking on Mike Wheeler?
Yeah, he just looks like a whole bag of bullied.
We will get to it. We will get to it. I have thoughts.
Yeah, he's somebody that deserves to be bullied.
And after this scene, he stays there alone. He wanders down into the dragon pit. We find in the next scene that he's want to do that. He gets terrified immediately by one of the dragons, though, and runs. Brought back. Dragon's scary, by the way.
They are scary.
That's what he finds out. Dragon, you're scary.
Oh, this is scary. Be brief fire.
He's like, that's how the kid talks. He breathe fire. I froed up.
Where's that pig? I want that pig back.
And the next scene.
I need a pink dwed.
Allison and Helena, we meet her daughter Helena in this scene, and they're doing some kind of like biological lesson. I was taking notes on something else, looking up something for the show. What the hell was going on there? She's playing with like a lizard or a slug and like studying it.
Some kind of bug.
It's got 17 eyes. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I wasn't 100% sure what she was doing with.
I'm getting that vibe.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. Like she started talking crazy and I'm like, all right, girl, sure.
Yeah.
But then she says something halfway through the scene where I'm like, that's a dragon egg right there that maybe we can't even talk about because that's a future spoiler.
I think we should warn about it and then say skip ahead 2 minutes and give the dragon. Okay, but not right now. Aemond is brought in by a king's guard, caught him in the dragon pit. He's all burny, dirty looking. And she's like, God damn it, man. Why are you always running around the dragon pits? You're a sissy boy. You don't have a dragon. And he's like, well, but that's why I'm sad. They made fun of me with the pig.
I like his gumption.
He does have moxie.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? I am scared of dragons, but I want a dragon. So I'll keep putting myself in that position till one of them either kills me or I get one.
Just take an egg, my guy. Take an egg, my guy.
Egg on. What if that was like what it was like when you were like, I'm going to go get a dog. I want to go get a dog. Let me go to the dog pit.
Yeah, you're going to go in the kennel and try to bond with one.
There's going
to
be some weird guys with staffs who speak another language at you. It's probably German because there's a lot of German shepherds who learn German commands. And then you like walk in and then one of them just breathes fire at you. Like, oh God, okay, no.
Wait. And so I was with you and now the dogs breathe fire.
Well, I'm just saying, what if like picking a dog was as scary?
Why don't you just leave it dragons if the dogs can breathe fire?
Well, it's like you have to go get your dog from an illegal dog fight in the middle of the fight and be like, that one's mine.
Yeah. And they're like, Fosh. And he's like,
you're like, nine.
Yeah. Nine. It's no in German.
And then
Steve.
It breathes fire.
And the next scene, Allison wants to blame Rhaenyra's children badly for Aemond being bullied, even though we saw the scene and her dumbass Mike Wheeler's son, Aegon, is the ringleader of the bullying. Mm-hmm. The pink dread was his whole idea. And the other kids are little. They didn't even come up with it. But
yeah, they're young kids. They're just like, they think he's the age where all the other young kids will look up to him and be like, wow, he's such an adult. He's
how
like
long as thin
he's
hair
like
is
12. Oh my God. He's going to be able to drive a car soon.
He's got like six pubes.
Cool. He's going to ride a dragon soon.
I can't wait till I get my pubes. I'm going to laugh at all of his jokes. You know how like there's that weird age where kids do that.
Yeah. Well, kids look up to older kids and they're all just kids. So it's unfortunate. Yeah, for sure. And then, Viserys is in there playing with Legos, with his buddy Eddard. This is a 2000 piece one, Your Grace. I don't know if you have the skill for this. Eddard, I've done as many as 3 and 4.
You stupid twat. This one is for ages 12 and up. I am the up.
12 and up. That includes kings.
I'm out of my Star Wars phase now. I'm I'm into my Avengers phase.
I don't even use the instructions.
I lied. I do.
Have you tried to do it without? That's just impossible.
Can people do Legos without the instructions?
Don't make me say it, Grace. The answer is no.
They do. You can make Legos without instructions all the time, but it's called making whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Right.
He's just, but never mind. And then, in this scene, once everybody gets sent away, Allison challenges Rhaenyra's parentage, but she doesn't say it plainly, as she would say. And he knows what she's getting at. And he tells this metaphorical story of a horse that he once had. Right. Mm-hmm. I think it was a black mare and a silver stallion did the deed, as you say, Steve. And they had a brown chestnut baby foal horse.
And the most unremarkable brown horse.
It's crazy. And it's nature. He's just like, nature be crazy. Shit be happening. We don't understand genetics yet. I don't even know the word that I'm saying. And she's like, how were you sure that the silver stallion was the one that did the deed, which is a, she's staying with the metaphor, accusing once again, Rhaenyra of siring children. So now
she's calling that horse a whore. All right. She's going hard on all these people.
Kristen Cole pops his head in. I will not be your whore. And they're like, what are you talking about? You sensitive biznatch.
It's like, oh, sorry. I had my headphones in. I was listening to.
That's the emo callback, Andy.
I get it.
And he gets angry and says, don't bring it up again. What you're suggesting is, you know, treasonous. It has dire consequences just to even be spoken aloud. Right. And the implication is, and Allison believes that he knows the truth. He's just willfully choosing not to entertain the idea because he's refusing to punish Rhaenyra. Mm-hmm. Because if it were true, if it were it to become common knowledge, all three of those children would be put to the death. Harwin would be put to the death, potentially Rhaenyra, but she'd certainly be exiled or something. So it's not good. Mm-hmm. Which is why Allison wants all that so bad, because she believes that would protect her family. I don't think she truly wishes ill will for the sake of ill will against Rhaenyra. I just think that she's bought into Otto's perspective on things wholeheartedly, that if Rhaenyra does in fact inherit the throne, her family's doomed.
I don't know. I mean, showing up with the war dress at the wedding seemed pretty ill willy to me.
But that was in that moment. You know, she was filled with ire.
I think she's bought into it, but I think she's also allowed that idea to kind of poison her mind a little bit. Cause she is like Rhaenyra is going to fucking kill you, Mike Wheeler, later on in a couple more scenes. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
yes,
well, maybe if you would like tone it down a bit with how antagonistic you're being.
That's the sad thing about this. And I'll talk about this more later, but there's a couple of turns they take in this episode that would, once again, and we've had a few of these, and that's what's so great about it. Juicy, where they could have avoided all of what is to come. Right. And yet nobody takes those paths because that would be a boring show. And the next scene, Allison and Kristen are walking together. And he did. Now, Kristen, I think there's a categorical difference. I think Allison is diplomatically, politically afraid of Rhaenyra and a little bit angry at her as a person. Right. But ultimately, again, I think if Aegon, her son, was heir to the throne, I don't think she'd be doing anything callous or mean to Rhaenyra, is my opinion. I think she would just be like, we're not friends anymore.
Right.
But Kristen, however, is emo ass.
He's vengeance.
He says, and I quote, pithy about Rhaenyra, she's a spider that springs and sucks her prey dry, a spoiled cunt. And I'm sorry to have to say that word. It's a quote from Kristen Cole, not what, I.
Spider?
Not, yes. I don't typically say that. spider with a C. See what I'm saying? And even that takes Allison, and this is my evidence that Allison isn't quite there yet, where she's vindictive in the extreme against Rhaenyra. She's like, ooh, you just said the C word?
You listen to Atreyu?
And he's like, that is perhaps beneath me, Your Grace. It's music that helps me feel better.
I wish we would have gotten at least one sort of scene to that kind of, I mean, it's implied. I think we can all kind of understand that this did happen off screen, but I still would have liked to have seen just how is Cole still around?
Yeah.
How, like, we know that
she's the queen
is protecting him,
forgiven him,
but I wish there would have been someone who's like looking at Cole like, this motherfucker.
I wish we had gotten one scene.
We were supposed to have 7 days of tourneys, Chris. 7 days of tourneys and feasts. And then it was all thrown to the wayside because this little motherfucker had to go beat up Joffrey.
Which was almost a hate crime, pretty much.
7 days, Chris.
Yes, I agree. Wait,
are you saying Chris is into Kristen or Chris to Christopher?
Yes.
Yes.
I feel like one scene would help us feel better. Like you said, Laenor didn't confront him at all. And again, this is 10 years later, but we didn't get it in the last episode either. Mm-hmm. So, but it doesn't bother me a whole terrible lot. Obviously, they took pains to show that Allison endorses him. And obviously, nobody's going to question the queen, except the king, who's not want to question pretty much anything except when his Amazon packages of Legos will be delivered. Mm-hmm. I said it would be here Monday.
I pay for Prime.
Roll me to the front door. I'm going to greet the Amazon driver myself.
I did hear that the reception for the younger actresses playing the queen and Rhaenyra it was a better reception than the showrunners had expected. And so they had been considering reworking season 2 to
include some flashbacks
and include those actresses. So we may still yet get that scene, Stephen.
That's true. Good pull, Andy.
Hopefully so. I just want to see Kristen Cole sweating it.
To just wait a couple years, you might get it.
Or just somebody like, I don't know. It could be fucking Lord Beesbury. I don't care. Who's like, is he? Why does he work here?
Wait a second.
My hearing might be going bad, but I thought I heard he beat the shit out of someone.
I didn't make it to the privy, but before I get cleaned up.
Didn't he punch a guy a bunch of times?
I'm remembering that, right?
Anyhoozle. And the next scene we get is...
Well, Allison says decency will prevail, and then we cut to this next.
Yes. Yes, which smash cut to Aegon jerking off out of the window that we think Tommen leapt to his death from, which is just... That's disrespectful in the past. And he's just cheeks to the wind, clapping away at himself for all to see down below, I guess.
So Mike Wheeler has a punchable face. This kid has the misfortune of being born with a punchable face. He's also playing a punchable character.
Yes.
With his excellent white casting. Hair. Excellent casting. Yes. I was so angry in this scene because I was like, the sheer fucking gall of this kid being this confident to just be in the nude jerking off the window.
Not only that, like, who cares who sees you? I can understand exhibitionism, but he might fall. Yeah. You know what I mean? What if he has a toe curler, falls to his death when he loses his balance?
He was pulling a Carradine, and like I think the danger is what's turning him on.
Sure, sure.
And he's looking out over the kingdom that is like, I will rule that one.
No, he doesn't even think that yet. And that's where I got what I was saying before is this scene. She confronts him, her son, as Otto Hightower did her. Yeah. Right. Like Otto had that scene under in the gate before the portcullis was drawn down and said, you know, your kids will die if she becomes queen, you ignorant ass whelp. And she took that to heart. And now she's having that same conversation with her firstborn son. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not taking this seriously at all. You merely living and existing is a threat to her throne. And before that, he starts to say, then I won't even challenge it. I'll just be chill. I'll just jerk off out the window and stuff.
That's all I want to do.
Nobody would know I'm here, which is
really
sad.
Good at it.
Because we get this scene, he's not even interested. It's always the parents driving this, first with Otto, now with Alicent. None of this confrontation that's to come is necessary at all. Aegon has no designs on being the king. And later...
Yeah, he kind of loves hanging out with Rhaenyra's kids, you know?
Yeah, they're all friends still at this point, for the most part, pushed apart by Kristen Cole.
Yeah.
And then later, Rhaenyra proposes an olive branch to marry her children to Alicent's children. And done.
And give them a dragon.
Your whole sub, and which puts a little, takes a little wind out of my sails, you know, because I was trying to kind of stick up for Alicent a little bit, but her whole, my kids would be in danger is undone by that proposal immediately. Oh, your supposedly greatest fears taken away. Nah, not doing that. I'd rather my son be king, right?
That's why, like, not only has she bought into Otto's tale, but she has like gone full property brothers and bought the house at market value. She's renovated it, put in her own little spin on it, slapped some popcorn ceiling off that, and then now she's selling it, right? She is the property queen.
You've doubled down on our combination of the property brothers, mm-hmm. House of the Dragon universes.
Yeah, she's like, Rhaenyra, I know what you make for a living. You can't afford this house. I don't know why you're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the house that Allison built. Okay. Thanks.
Hi. It's got a high tower, if you know what I'm saying. And the next scene,
I'm getting quicker with it.
You are. The next scene, we get to see Noodle Boy.
My big green noodle boy.
Caraxes just noodling around the sky. And the first speck, the first images of Vhagar. Come on now. God.
Mm-hmm. He's a big meaty boy.
Very big meaty boy. He's got like ropes and shit dangling off of him. He's old as shit. He's got holes in his wings from all the bat or her wings. I don't know the sex of Vhagar, but like,
well, I think dragons can be whatever sex they need to be.
Hell yeah. Dragons are for everyone. But it was so cool getting to see Vhagar, this dragon that we've heard so much about and is such a big part of the lore. And it's like the biggest, oldest dragon in the world. And it's being read by Lena, who's like a pretty small in stature person, right? So it looks even bigger with her on the saddle. And it's just this monumental mammoth of a flying thing. And Daemon's like, damn, that's a big dragon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just dwarfs Caraxes and Daemon. And so they're married now. Daemon and Lena are married, Lena Velaryon. And she's the same girl in the first episode, I think it was, maybe second episode. Which, do you have any games on your phone? And all grown up and married to Uncle Daemon now.
She looks older than Alicent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Casting's a little off there, but I love her.
Yeah,
I
think she's wonderful. Great performance. And the next scene, they're having a dinner. So they're in Pentos in Essos. And there's a toast to Aegon the Conqueror, a gift of the whole mansion, the lands, the incomes. And he proposes an alliance, essentially, some protection from Daemon and Laena and their dragons, more importantly, against the Triarchy that are allied with Corrin Martell of Dorne. And he's just, they're nervous about that. And they want Daemon's help in return for some, you know.
Can't trust a Martell.
And Daemon, in this next few scenes, his whole arc in this story is that he's kind of given up on certain things. He's just getting drunk and, you know, hanging out in Essos where he feels like, I don't have to deal with any of that dumb bullshit. It's all garbage anyway. And Laena wants to return to Westeros. She, you know, she says, you know, we don't belong here. You don't belong here. You're not the man I married. You're not the man that you could be. We are the blood of old Valyria. And Daemon's like, old Valyria's gone. We don't belong anywhere.
Yeah.
Love that line. And I stole some thunder from some later scenes, but that's pretty much their whole arc is summed up in that. Mm-hmm. In the next scene, he's alone with his daughter. We get to see his dad girl mode. We've never seen Daemon like this. I believe that's Bela, and he's teaching her Valyrian, which I loved. And Daemon wants to entertain the proposition of Pentos. And
it's a simple transaction.
His name is Prince Reggio, by the way.
Reggio. It's a simple transaction, Chris. They have dragons. They have gold. You know, put them together. It's a simple transaction.
He's like, she's tired of dealing with the bullshit.
Prince Reggio just wants a little protection, some family protection. Am I right?
It's an offer he can't refuse.
You just deliver here.
He does give gangster vibes. You have a dragon. Maybe that's why I love him so much.
Prince Reggio?
Yeah, he's got like, no, Daemon. No.
Well, he didn't even ask him to do anything. He's like, literally, you live here with your dragons.
Yeah, they're not going to fuck with us if there's two dragons parked here.
And you get everything you want. I will fill your cup.
Mm-hmm. It will overfloweth. Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't like the amber wine that he's been drinking there.
The swill they're serving here.
Like my wine.
Yeah, they're like Italian and Pintos. And Laena tries to convince him once more. She says her piece, wants him to continue the conversation with her. And he looks at her like, sorry, were you not done?
No, he's such a dick.
Dude, and she just like takes the cue and leaves, right? And the next scene, Viserys with Lionel Strong, he's overly optimistic, watching the kids in the courtyard. And again, he just wants everybody to be a family and be happy. And like everybody down in the courtyard fucking hates each other, but he's so oblivious. He's looking down like, ha, 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 everybody's so in love and we're all family.
This is going to forge friendships and brotherly bonds.
Falling down together, picking each other up.
And Lionel's like, uh-huh. Don't make me say it, Your Grace.
So the kids start training together. They're doing okay, fighting the straw men and stuff. And Kristen Cole starts to train Aemond and Aegon very closely with his tutelage. And Harwin Breakbones he should hold his tongue, but he cannot because his children, let's just say it, they're his kids. Right. Mm-hmm. We all knew this, right, Andy?
Don't slander her.
Yeah.
It's slander.
It's not proven.
I'm just keeping it real. This isn't gossip.
You are working with unsavory rumors right now, Chris.
You're not ready for this gravy I'm brewing.
Yeah. This is a recipe for some strong ass gravy.
Oh, here we go. It's way better when you don't misquote it. I'm just trying to give you the meat, give it to you raw.
Thank you. I like it when you give me the raw meat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. We're quoting Lord of the Rings.
And I love it when you raw meat me.
And so Harwin steps in. Like, why don't you train the other kids that I have no affiliation with?
But Harwin's not wrong. Cole's being a little bitch and he's taking out his grudge.
Kristen Cole has every intention of these kids later killing those kids when they grow up.
Oh, 100%.
So he's like, oh, that would be a little portent.
But this is like the kids are innocent of this whole family quarrel. So very sad. The fact that he's taking out even a smudge of it on these innocent children is just so fucking, that's beneath your cloak, sir. Mm-hmm. I know you sullied it years ago.
Yeah, you already sullied that cloak twice.
But, maybe you should try to play the part of the noble knight you see yourself as.
He's got murder and other bodily fluids all over that cloak already.
Like, are you really going to hang out with Mike Wheeler over those other two kids who have the same color hair as you? I don't think so.
For real. He's dueling him going, ew, ew.
Ew. I know this kid does on windowsills. Okay.
And then Kristen.
Do you think there's going to be like a breakaway scene at one point where someone's in the courtyard of King's Landing and they're just like, oh, something got in my eye.
That's what I was thinking. Somebody way down below. Ugh.
Somebody's catching snowflakes on the tongue.
No. And so he pits Jace against Aegon, the two oldest children. And Aegon's much older. He's much bigger. And Viserys starts to make a face when things go awry down in the courtyard. But he doesn't say anything. He's just like, I don't know about this familial.
Should have fired Kristen Cole.
Nah, it'll be fine.
I think I pooped.
And then, you know, they all fight. Harwin tries to train his kid and Kristen tries to, they become like coaches in a Rocky Balboa movie. And eventually there's some words exchanged. Kristen says, your interest in these children is, you know, something like a cousin or an uncle or maybe a father might have. Mm-hmm. That enrages Harwin.
And Harwin's like, say it to my face.
He starts pummeling Kristen's face, much like Kristen did to Joffrey Lonmouth, the Knight of Kisses. But not as effectively without the gauntlets.
As the Lord of Kisses, R.I.P. to our knight.
R.I.P. Now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. We're so excited to be partnered up with BetterHelp for this show because we're huge advocates for mental health. And we've always wanted a way to work it into the show. And now it gives us an easy way. I actually work in the mental health field, so I'm thinking about this all the time. My mother suffered from bipolar disorder. My dad had undiagnosed issues. And so it's really something that's close to my heart. And I'm so happy to be able to help our listeners if we can in some way with that. My own life, I'm filled with anxiety. Just get a little personal for a second. I think I've talked about it, but pretty recently I checked myself into the ER for heart issues that I thought I was having. Turns out it was a panic attack. It was just anxiety. So these are things that I don't talk about a whole lot, but I suffer from. And I, you know, even being in the field, I find it very difficult to find somebody to help me with those things. A lot of the therapists that I find that I jibe with, I connect with, I find out they're not accepting new patients. So I'm like, get really frustrated. And then I don't know where to go from there. What BetterHelp does is it helps pair you with a therapist to help you with your needs. And you can switch therapists at any time. And it's directly online. So you can just easily and without any barriers whatsoever, access the help that you need. So when you want a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/streamingthings. And the next scene, a maid rushes to tell Rhaenyra what has occurred. She runs to talk with Harwin, but Harwin's already arguing with his father, the Hand of the King, Lionel Strong, about it. Apparently he knows as well. They're going back and forth. Words are exchanged. Lionel is aghast because, you know, you've already gone this far and now you're going to tease everything more in the court by punching the Knight of the King's Guard.
People have eyes, boy.
Mm-hmm. They can see the brown hair. You both have silver hair, or they both have silver hair. The kids all have brown hair. Yeah. 2 and 2 plus 2 is not 5, my friend.
Mm-hmm. And we all know Lionel Strong is a guy of utmost integrity, and he's
a fucking good Hand of the King.
You know, he really hates, he hates that he's a part of this. He is just so displeased with
Sully the Strong name.
Yep.
Sully the Strong name.
Weakened it.
Mm-hmm. Also, these 10 years haven't been so good to Lionel Strong either. Dude went from having shoulder length, full head of hair to he's bald. And
You could see the widow be peeking already back then. I think it was really good makeup.
Where it happens fast. I'm telling you.
I'm going to attest to that.
Life came after Lionel Strong quick.
And she runs back to her maid, doesn't actually confront the two men. And Laenor shows up drunk as hell, singing merrily in the hallway with his buddy Carl.
Carl.
There's war in the Stepstones again. And I wrote down cum joke, but I don't remember what it was. Oh, she's like,
you've been drinking the finest wines and other, and God knows what else.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Good one. Good one, Rhaenyra.
But he's excited because Laenor is a knight. He's a warrior, right?
And a seaman.
And a seaman, mm-hmm. Yes.
A seafarer.
He wants to be out on the sea again. He wants to fight the Triarchy. Like the Triarchy's building their forces back up. They're going to probably start a war here soon. And that really excites Laenor because now he can get out of this kind of role that he lives in.
Yeah, he feels smothered. He says, I've honored my side of the agreement. And she's like, you've been just banging a bunch of dudes and getting drunk for 10 years.
He starts to say, I'm owed. And she's like, you're not owed shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've just been hanging out.
Damn right. And he says, a wise sailor flees the storm as it gathers. Because she's like, you're going to abandon me now when they got all these rumors about our children's parentage and all this stuff going on? And he says that. And she says, fine, then I'll command you as your princess and heir to the throne. I command you to stay by my side. And he's like, touche.
Shit.
Got me there. Touche.
Property Brothers after hours. You find out what happens to the couple after the fact. And like, did they stay together? Or did they love the house?
Laenor and Rhaenyra got to keep the apartment for $125,000. They stayed and then eventually broke up.
He's been drinking a lot of wine and God knows what else. we cut to Laena and the kids back in Pentos. it's her younger daughter, I would imagine Reyna, that says, you know, she's had this dragon for 8 years and still hasn't hatched. She's 8 years old. She's upset about that. She's putting it up to the fire, trying to get it to hatch because she wants a dragon. And her mother, Lena, says, hey, so half of them never hatch, which doesn't cheer her up. That's not a good thing to say to an 8 year old.
Bela has dragons. Yeah. Dad loves Bela more than me.
Like, what kind of parents are these? Like, they walk in the room like, honey, I told you this many times. Life might suck forever.
You should just not dream. Okay.
Like, told you not to do that
all the time.
Holy shit. Do you never learn?
Do you want to get disappointed? Come on. But I do like this note that we find out that Lena eventually got to ride Vhagar at age 15.
Yes.
So, because when we first saw Lena, when she was just a little kid, just wanting to know if he had games on her phone, she actually mentioned like, oh, sailors hear the songs of Vhagar. And she was like interested in that dragon. So it's like Lena had a dream and she went out and she grabbed that dream by the saddle. And now she rides that dream all the damn time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Vhagar.
Yeah.
That was a Daemon joke.
Yeah, it was.
Hot D. The next scene, Daemon and Lena are sitting outside on the roof or something. They're talking again. She's trying to convince him or heavily imply that they should go back to Westeros. Right. She mentions that Laenor wrote to her and said that they had another son, and Daemon makes a joke about it. So everyone in the whole fucking world knows that these kids are not Laenor Velaryon's kids. Mm-hmm. Even Daemon all the way in Pentos knows that.
He says, does he bear a entirely coincidental resemblance to the commander of the
City Watch? Yeah. Good joke. Daemon style.
I do like that. Lena says something like, I miss my brother and I know you miss yours. Like,
yes. Talking
about the king. His brother's turning into a puddle. He should go visit him. Yeah,
very quickly. And he cares for Lena. I think that's something that we should note. Unlike his feelings for the last wife, which he murdered, he seems, maybe he's not in love with her. And she even mentions that. I know I'm not the wife that you wanted, but he's good to her in his own Daemon way. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting, right?
That's the most domesticated we've seen Daemon in this whole show.
Yes. And daughters will do that. I can attest. The next scene is the small council, such as it is, with Lord Beesbury and such, talking about, pretty cool. This might be a dragon egg. I hope I don't steal it from somebody because I know you're pretty savvy on this stuff. But they're talking about a dispute between the Brackens and the Blackwoods. Was that one of your eggs? Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that later then. Alicent is angry because Rhaenyra keeps kind of piping up and doing some good ruling there, right? She don't want her doing that. She's talking about the war and the Stepstone. She interferes in the Bracken and Blackwood dispute discussion. And Alicent knocks Daemon for not, you know, defending it after he took it from the Triarchy, and Rhaenyra steps to his defense. We left it undefended. We should have put a garrison there or a fleet or something. And they start to kind of argue. Allison's like, well, that's expensive. And Rhaenyra's like, wars are expensive, which is a very good point.
Yeah.
And Viserys all the while, it keeps cutting to him and he's just like, Oh my God. When is this going to be over?
Why can't I die now?
I got this 6,000 piece back in my room.
It's always thinking about. I wonder where the big square piece went.
This is the Duplos of conversation.
Legos are really hard with one hand.
That's true. I bet they are. We still got two fingers on one.
So this scene was kind of interesting. Like, do you think, like, to me, the small council looks a lot bigger, like earlier in
like
the
more
scene,
people,
mid sized council.
It almost like
small no more.
The council was only like on one side of the table plus Rhaenyra. And now, like,
yeah, well, it's
all
got
the angles are full now.
Rhaenyra and Alicent are there instead of her being a cupbearer. They're both sitting on the council.
Sure, but there's even like more dudes.
Lord
on like
Beesbury, Tyland Lannister. I'm trying to think who would be even be there.
There was one dude with like a beard who I don't know who that is. That's a speaking role.
McDude.
Mm-hmm. Jojo McDude of House Dude.
He's the guy that makes the little balls that everybody sits in front of.
Yes, he's the ball maker.
He's the minutes keeper.
Mm-hmm. Everybody clock in, put your bowl on the plate.
Master of balls.
You're not going to be. Yes.
Master of ships.
That's
master
of made coin. Me think of David Bowie from Labyrinth when he's juggling the balls. He's the master of balls. Rhaenyra,
such a pity.
Rhaenyra extends the olive branch here. And this is major. She says, why don't we wed Jacaerys to Helaena, right?
Let's bring our houses together. Like, I'm so sorry if I've offended you, but we are family. We need to stick together. Mm-hmm.
And Viserys is so happy. He lights up. That's the most judicious idea, my love. Everybody clap. That's fucking fire shit. She just spat.
Marry my grandson to my daughter. Yes.
What a wonderful idea.
Baby.
And Allison looks like she's just swallowed some bad gravy. She's just disgusted. I'm sorry.
So strong. This is some strong gravy.
Damn rings of power for putting that phraseology in my mind. But Rhaenyra is just trying to give her the meat and give it to her raw.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, she's not having it. She says, we'll think about it, you know, the king and I, which is an obvious no. And Rhaenyra looks like she's been slapped. And she even says, hey, I'll give Aemond a choice of Cyrax's next batch of eggs because he doesn't have any dragons yet. Everybody's making fun of him. He's got pigs and shit.
It's all undermined. And she starts lactating in the middle.
Her breasts start to leak and she finds that to be embarrassing, which it probably would be, but it's unfortunate. Yeah,
around the people.
Yeah, it's like this professional setting or whatever.
It's like was it happening on the Senate.
And Allison calls attention to it to embarrass her, right? Like, oh, Rhaenyra, look at your boobies.
Oh, I read that as almost like that was just like the instinctual reaction of Allison. So like, oh, hey.
Like a friend move?
Yeah, like fellow woman to woman thing.
I want to believe that, but it also kind of stopped the proposal of peace in its tracks and sat her down. Mm-hmm. So I want to say that that was meant to be a nefarious thing.
Sure. Yeah, I think I also want to believe that there's some good, so there's still love there. Like even Rhaenyra is like, we used to be friends.
And once we were friends, even we were sisters.
But when they, as soon as they leave the room, Allison's like, oh, how sweetly the fox speaks when it is cornered. Like, oh, like she's
to her husband.
She's desperate. Like not only to her husband, to the man who is the father of the woman she's speaking ill of. Yeah.
And that's, and she completely overpowers him in every scene. Like right before it cuts to that line that you're talking about, he starts
breeze would overpower Jaehaerys.
Yes.
Viserys.
He starts to speak up for his daughter again. And she's like, rest, husband. And he's like, nah, I am tired. It's like, damn it, man. Rule the kingdom. But yeah, she says all that. And he argues with Alicent as best he can. But he asks her to do something.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Like make peace with Rhaenyra. I think she says, I'll be cold in my grave before you do that. And he's basically like, I'm not going to outlive you. I can't even walk these stairs. You're gone.
I am a walking grave.
Like he's so many steps behind her. And she's like, do. She's like taking it two at a time. Like when you're a teenager and you don't want to go up one at a time. Mm-hmm. Seems like it takes forever if you do that. Remember when we always run upstairs that way?
Oh yeah.
God, gods, I was strong.
I could take stairs three at a time.
Oh my goodness.
But then they get to Viserys's quarters and Allison becomes the helicopter queen where she's like throwing the blanket on him and just like pampering him. And Viserys is so like, I don't quit.
Can't even take a shit without you, woman.
I don't need the blanket.
Okay, the blanket does feel warm and
comfortable. Actually, damn, that's nice.
It's pretty cool.
It's a kingly gift. Is that mithril?
This is the finest silk. But Lionel comes in because he has to meet with the king.
Mm-hmm. He attempts to resign out of shame, which is he's pulling a real fucking Kristen Cole right here. Like he's making things way worse, right? Because Allison is basically foaming at the mouth because if he says what she thinks he's about to say.
Speak plain, sir.
Oh, speak it plain. Mm-hmm. Dare not say it, Your Grace. Dare to make me say it. That's what my father said.
There is a shadow of my house and it grows ever darker.
And what is the shadow? I cannot say. And Viserys is appalled. And he's like, then I don't accept, right? Your advice has been sage this entire many years, unmarked by self-interest, which is what we've said for eons, Steve.
Many years.
Lionel Strong is one of the best hands we've ever seen on television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he's just a fucking wealth and dearth of knowledge.
Yeah. And like Like Viserys says,
isn't dearth a lack of?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is
a wealth of knowledge. Not a dearth, an anti-dearth.
A girth of knowledge. He's
got a girth of knowledge. Fun tidbit, Lionel Strong was educated at the Citadel and forged like six links of a maester's chain. Mm-hmm. He's a smart guy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he's very smart. He's one of the smartest lords in King's Landing.
He really is like the least self-serving person we've probably
Edard, yeah. Yeah. In the hands position, I would think so.
And it's so telling that he is aware of what his son's doing to the point where he's like, I can't do this anymore because now I'm my advice will be tainted. It will have a little bit of a self-serving to it because those are technically my grandkids.
He's so honorable that he's making a mistake mm-hmm. for his house. Yeah. And so he says, at least let me take Harwin back to Harrenhal. He's the heir. And yeah, so he does just that. And Alicent refuses to help in a really petty way. Viserys, he's like, once he gets back in his chair, he's like, all right, well, help me again, I guess. We'll do the blinky thing. Oh, you're gone. Ah, fuck.
Shit.
I was going to have you move the chair to the Legos.
I can't put my feet on the ottoman.
One hand. Where's the remote control? Gods be good.
What's on the TV today? Oh, the fire still. We just watched the fire for 3 hours.
The screensaver fire thing. Yeah.
Because that's the only thing, the only thing that chair looks at is the fireplace. So it's like, oh man, maybe I should throw paper in there.
He's just bored as shit.
Well, it's kind of burn.
I guess I'll go to bed. Maybe I'll die. That'd be awesome.
Oh, that'd be fucking great. Oh, that'd be so nice. Why can't I die?
Kiki. Laris. We cut to Laris and Alicent getting all chummy over some meat pie and stuff, drinking some wine. And they talk about how Lionel, who is Laris's father, we should point out, has just attempted to resign. And he said, well, the truth has many flavors, Your Grace. And, you know, he's very smarmy. He's the Laris is the Varys of the days of old, right?
He's just more like the Littlefinger than the Varys.
Yes. But he also has, well, Littlefinger had lots of spies and stuff too. That's true.
Little Spider, we'll call him.
Yeah. Double whammy move.
Little Spider.
And she talks about how she doesn't have any allies.
Spider Finger.
Spider Finger. That sounds creepy. She talks about, she laments the fact that she feels so alone in King's Landing. She doesn't have any allies in all of this mess. And it's, I think we're led to believe that the whole, other than the rumor being pretty obvious because the children have brown hair, I think Laris, Harwin's own brother, has spearheaded a lot of the concrete gossip surrounding his involvements with Rhaenyra. And she said, you know, she talks about how she misses her father. He would be a better hand. And he's like, well, he wouldn't be impartial either, which is true. And she's like, yeah, but he would be on my side. He'd be partial mm-hmm. to me. And that's all she wants. So Laris takes that upon himself to make that wish come true.
Some parity in the partiality.
Yes, indeed. Laris goes straight down to the black cells and finds a murderer, a deviant, and a traitor that are all doomed for death.
Stick. I just got to say, we get that close up of his walking stick.
Yeah, there's a little symbol on there, like a beetle or a bug.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
I think it's amber with a mosquito trapped inside.
Yeah.
That little DNA strand came out and explained the rest of the plot to us.
Dino DNA.
Dragon DNA.
This princess is having an affair with this guy. But she's actually married to this guy who's having an affair with Carl.
Follow
Dino
me.
Dino DNA.
And then he cuts their tongues out, which is the small favor he asks of them in return for his mercy.
Would you guys take that deal if you're like, oh, I'm going to be put to death tomorrow? And they're
100%
like,
lose a tongue? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. Or death? Mm. Psh, easy. I don't even like talking.
Only the two guys. Well, it looked like three guys did it.
Oh, but I could never lick a lollipop.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We cut to Lena giving birth to their third child. She thinks the child is stillborn. The Pintoshi midwife guy is just like, it's beyond my talent, your Damon.
I've reached the limit of my art, Your Grace.
Yes, that's what he says. And
the
can
kid
I just
did
say,
not come out on its own. I was really hoping it would.
Yeah, that's the limit of my talent. I usually stand there and say, push.
I catch it.
They push and the baby comes.
It's not easy. They're very slippery.
It's the limit of my art. I
stand there and just make this face. It's a very scared face for audio listeners. Yeah.
I could cut into her and dig around a bit and perhaps maybe do something. And he's like, is the woman going to survive? Is Lena going to live? And
fuck no.
Definitely not.
Absolutely
I'm surprised
not.
She's made it this long. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, she's this poor woman, I swear.
And I want to give Damon some credit. This is juxtaposed perfectly with Queen Emma in the first episode. Yes. He's absolutely unwilling to make that same sacrifice that Viserys made, selfishly correct. But also, he's in the fucking room, unlike every other husband that we've seen in the show so far. Like, say what you want about Daemon. Sure, sometimes he murders his wife, right? Sometimes.
Yeah.
If he, you know, sees them as slightly mean or too independent, sure. But when he cares a lot, right? And I, you know, a little bit of a tiny save the kitty cat.
But I'm a little confused. Like, how did she get out into the yard to
past Vagar, everyone?
Past everyone. Because
she's
swift. She walks out there and then
she's a ninja.
Before Vagar can actually open up the fire pits, that's when Daemon's like, Lena, I wanted to ask you, what are you doing?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they all went to go get her hot towels.
And she just ninja smoked out of there.
And they came back in the room and they were like,
hot towels and ice chips.
Missing.
Oh, the pregnant woman. Where'd she go? Oh, shit.
Wait, it's beyond my art to find her.
Yeah, and the doctor's like, I'm sorry, sir. Yeah,
but he was probably like, where did she go? And he's like, you've reached the limits of my art.
He's like, this can sometimes happen.
The art of your eyeballs? Yes.
Pentoshi medicine isn't what it is in Westeros.
Would you like me to stab a woman? And he's like, no. How many fucking times do I have to tell you? That's not going to help in this situation. All right.
But yeah, Lena, she walks up to Vagar and she's telling Vagar to do Dracarys. She wants to do suicide by dragon. And it's this really, such a really powerful scene where this ancient ass dragon that's got hair. And Vagar is so old, and you can tell it's like, but you would be the burn. And she's like, Dracarys. And it's like, but I don't really want to. You would be the burn. And it's like, Dracarys. And she's like, Daemon shows up, and he's like, I'm sorry, man. My wings are tied in this.
Can I just say, this is the only time that I can remember. Well, no, because the other Dracarys scene from season 3, episode 4 gets me every single time. I cried during this, and it's never happened in House of the Dragon. I can't remember it happening very often in Game of Thrones, but I thought this actor, I don't know Lena Valerian's name, unfortunately, did a phenomenal job. And like you said, part of the sadness of this scene, like, she's got this stillborn child in her. She doesn't know what to do. Like, that, I can't understand. I have no genetic way to process what that feels like, that pain. But the dragon also, who's bonded with her, right? And he's just so confused. Like, I have to do your bidding, but I need you to be clear. Because I don't think Mama going to survive Dracarys. Yeah. What do you want me to do, Dracarys? Am I misunderstanding? Like, he's looking around like, burn water?
My fire real hot.
Yeah.
This is so sad. This is a reverse old, like, Geller.
Imagine if you could command your dog to kill you.
Yeah.
And your dog just being like, What?
You got to be very clear with the details on this.
How will I get treat after deed?
How will I be a good boy?
I will not be good as boy. It's so terribly sad. I was crying. And then after that, we cut to Harwin saying goodbye to the children who are definitely not his, and the woman he's definitely never slept with, very tearfully. And then another sad moment, one of Rhaenyra's children, I believe.
Jace.
Jace comes up. Am I a bastard? No. No.
No.
Definitely not a bastard.
Oh, no.
Definitely not. No. And no, actually,
Dad,
she
had
says,
this horse one time.
There was a silver stallion. Where are you going? She says something cool, though. She says, and this is what Daemon taught her, right? Like, you're a Targaryen. That's all that matters. We do what we want.
I do what I want.
We fuck stuff. And then we jerk off out windows sometimes.
Mm-hmm. With the sheer gall.
Steve is just
flea bottom walking around with umbrellas all the time.
They can't afford them.
I have troubles walking around my own apartment with my socks off. This motherfucker's in the full buff jerking out of a window.
Hey, man. It's because you have 9 toes.
That's true.
We cut to Rhaenyra taking her family to Dragonstone. And she goes up to Laenor and she's like, hey, we should have left a long time ago. And he's like, you wouldn't be able to hear the gossip and it would get worse. And she said something smart ass like, the wise sailor flees before the storm gathers. Mm-hmm. And he's like, man, I said that earlier. I get it. Mm-hmm. But she's like, but you can bring Carl so you guys can keep banging because we might need a sword. And he's like, yes.
And this is partly why, like, I don't think I'll ever get off of Team Rhaenyra, just because, like, she's so just cool with Lannor. Like, I really like how
she's a good ally.
They seem like they're like legitimately good friends, despite like their odd marital circumstance. Because mm-hmm. she's like, we're going to Dragonstone, but bring your friend, because I don't want to mm-hmm. separate you from the person that you love. Where like I just got separated from the person that I love.
Rhaenyra walked so Marjorie Tyrell could run, and being a good ally, because she was like, Renly, do you, buddy?
Mm-hmm. You do you. You do you.
All three of
my
us.
Brother.
Yeah, let's do this. Good for you. Good for you. And the next scene, we cut to Harrenhal, the fabled doomed castle, and the tongueless soldiers roll up.
Harrenhal.
Yeah, as they pronounce it, Harrenhal.
Harrenhal. It's like this ZZ Top song. Harrenhal.
You guys remember that Got Milk commercial? Ebba!
Yes.
It's obsessed with Alexander Hamilton.
I don't remember that one
at all. It's the tongueless guys. Same guys.
Oh, okay. I still don't know this commercial.
He's eating a peanut butter sandwich. The dude's upset. He's a big history buff that loves Alexander Hamilton. There's some radio show that calls him to say, who is the guy that shot Alexander Hamilton in a duel? But he's eating peanut butter and he's out of milk. He's going, Abba, Abba.
And he's got Hamilton on the mind. He just saw the concert.
I love that commercial.
Abba. And then the tongueless people apparently set a fire in one of the towers, and both Harwin and Otto are burned to
death. Not Otto, Lionel.
Sorry, I keep saying Otto. Mm-hmm. Both Harwin and Lionel are burned to death. Thank you. And then we get like a Larys voiceover that I thought was epic. Very well done.
It was very wondering who it was.
Yeah, I didn't recognize the voice either.
Same.
What'd you say? You kept wondering what?
That's okay.
Never mind. Steve thoughts deleted, baby.
I'm bringing it up later.
Alicent has regrets is my next and last and final note, because, you know, it cuts to the source of the voice, which is Larys. And she's like, oh, my God, what did you do? And he's like, oh, Harrenhal bees like that. And she's like, no, you definitely did that.
Some people say it's a cursed place.
Yeah. And he's like, well, you said you wanted it. And so, because he's like, hey, now send a letter to Otto. I imagine he'll be on his way soon. So Otto's going to, you know, be the king's hand again.
The middle finger's coming to Westeros.
And to Allison's credit, she looks horrified, right?
Yeah.
Because he's just killed his brother and his dad.
Yeah.
And he's not even a little sad.
I expect you'll reward me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's got a little flower, like, smells delicious.
It's the same flower, I think, that he was sniffing in the courtyard he said.
It's not from here.
It's a stranger, yeah. By all rights, it shouldn't be blooming here.
Yeah, it's thriving here. It's not from this location, but it's thriving here, mm-hmm. just like he is.
Ooh, it's giving chaos is in the pit. It's a ladder energy. Mm-hmm. That flower.
Yep.
Love it. That's the end. Yeah. Now it's time for dragon eggs. Steve, I know you've got one that I almost took from you.
I have four.
Drop them on me, baby.
I'll drop the one that we just
drop kinda, all four.
I was going to say Larys's little monologue at the end is very much Littlefinger's chaos is a ladder.
Oh, monologue. I'm sommy.
We had Tommen falling out of the window that we think that Aegon's jerking it to. The detail of Vhagar, he's got a bunch of like leather straps on him. And I saw like a lot of people are speculating that's just because like over time, this dragon has grown and the straps of the dragon just kind of has stuck on him because he's so big that you can't really like climb up and get those straps off. So he's just got like the vestiges of old saddles still on him.
Yeah, they're like barnacles and shit on a blue whale or something.
Which is such a neat detail. And then the last one I want to bring up, and this is more of a theory than an Easter egg, but I saw it online. I thought it was really cool and I really want to get your guys' perspective on this. There is this theory that the rat that we have seen in every episode, the theory is that Larys the Clubfoot is a green seer and can see similar to how Bran can see through animals or like
all the Stark kids.
And then there's that other guy that could see through the hawk. Like Larys can see through this rat. And that's how he's kind of seeing things like the moon tea being delivered. And the first time we see Larys is in the courtyard in front of the weirwood tree, which kind of gives a little credence so that he has that connection to this sort of realm. I don't know if that's what they're going for, but I saw that a theory online. I'm like, oh, that's a really neat,
I like that.
Neat idea. I don't know if they're going to go with it, but I kind of like that.
I like that.
I believe that has a because there's no other place for like magic other than dragons in this version of the Game of Thrones tales. Right. And I can understand the writers being like, we need to put some like, you know, Melisandre type shit in here. Mm-hmm. It's not a green seer though. It'd be a warg, wouldn't it?
Well, I think it could be one or the other. Cause if
the green seer is just like kind of a see the future. I think that's specifically the swamp people's lingo too. But I take your point regardless. Right.
But I think they're making that connection by having him being introduced in front of the Weirwood tree. And then, cause that it's those two elements are kind of tied
mystical
together.
Arts. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I could see that. I think they're onto something. Do you got anything else?
That's it for me on dragon eggs.
Andy, you got any dragon eggs to pop off on?
A tiny little one.
I don't know why I phrased it that way.
I'll pop off on it right here, right now. At the very end, when Allison is remorseful for the things that Strong has done, baby brother Strong, the music that plays at the end, it's a slightly remixed and slightly different key, but it is absolutely the Light of the Seven.
Really?
Music that plays during like the destruction of the Sept of Baelor.
Fucking phenomenal pull, Andrew. Way to pop off.
Yes, sir. I love it when Andy pops off. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Got anything else?
That's it.
Let's see. What was not?
Chris?
Just some like expanding on some lore things. Lena in the books is obsessed with flying dragons. She absolutely loves it, which is why in this episode, she says she wants to die as a dragon rider, not in some, you know, foreign mansion on a farm. And like, that's why her relationship with Vhagar is so special and why she chooses to die the way that she chooses to die. And, but it's different than her death in the books. In the books, she dies 3 days after that stillbirth from complications from the birth. And I actually like the change. I think they gave her, though it is a suicide, you know, trigger warning. I think it's a little more befitting what she maybe wanted. It was on her own terms versus just, you know, dying in a bed in a place that wasn't her home.
Right.
Though I don't think she was in Pentos, cause I know Rhaenyra was by her side when she died. They were really close friends in the book.
And we kind of glossed over this, but how like fucking tragic is it? Cause that during Larys's monologue, there's this shot where like the daughters can see their burnt up mom's corpse in the yard. Yes, like that's so fucking sad.
Yeah. It was kind of a montage during the Larys speech. And I kind of didn't take greatest notes there, but that was a good moment.
Lots of burnt corpse.
Yeah. Here are the corpses over here. Here's this corpse over there. Everyone's burning up.
And then, when they're having the dinner in Pentos and the guy's saying, hey, won't you guys live here with your dragons? He references a battle or an alliance between Aegon, the original conqueror, and Pentos. And that was called the Century of Blood. There was a war between Volantis, who had conquered Lys and Myr, against Pentos and Tarush. I think. And Aegon did help with that. He took Balerion the Black Dread and burnt an entire Lycian fleet during that. And that's what he was referencing. I just thought that was cool. It also says in this scene that Corin Martell of Dorne has allied with the Triarchy. And it's important to know that though they call it the Seven Kingdoms in House of the Dragon, Dorne has not yet been conquered completely. They are still an independent kingdom that does whatever it wants. And it would take another, I think, 50 years after what we're seeing in the Dance of the Dragon before Daeron is the king. Daeron Targaryen is the one who conquers Dorne finally. And they call him the Young Dragon. There's that. Vhagar, I think we've talked about it many times. That was the dragon of Visenya, sister of Aegon. And so that's the one that Lena is riding. The oldest dragon in the world, like you said, one of the three that came originally with Aegon the Conquerors. What else do I have here? I didn't find out what the symbol on the cane of Larys means or is. And they made a meal of that. So it is 100% supposed to be something, I think. And the same symbol is on the tongue guy's pen, in case you didn't put two and two together, which that was a little silly. I got to wear my master's pin. He told me to wear it. I can't.
He cut me tongue off and gave me this pin.
It's so nice.
It's a sweet deal.
I love it. It looks so pretty.
I love it.
And then they also mentioned Sunfire. And that's just important to know that is Aegon's dragon. Mm-hmm. But this is a spoiler for the plot. If you haven't read Fire and Blood, go away for about 45 seconds. But they make a little joke. I forget the context of it. Who even says it?
It's the sister, the daughter.
Oh, it's Helaena.
Helaena, yeah.
Yeah, and right as they're talking about Aemond getting a dragon, she says, he would have to lose an eye, or he would have to close one eye.
You have to close an eye first.
Yes. Yeah. Talking to about the like bug or whatever. But in the books, Amond gets one of his eyes stabbed out. Mm-hmm. And
they call him, he has a really cool eye patch.
Yeah. They call him Amond One Eye.
And a sapphire and sometimes.
That was so funny. Oh yeah. It's going to be all cool. And like a jewel in there. That's going to be awesome. All right, next section, Valyrian Steel, our top three favorite moments of the episode. Steve, kick us off. Take us home, baby. What's your number three?
I want to give a shout out to a scene that I really wanted to include in my top three, but I can't because, you know, it's just my fanboying it. And that's just the fact that I got to see my big red newly boy Caraxes. Newly boy. I love that big red newly boy. And he makes his like noises when he flies around. He I love him. my real number three.
You want to give him the Knight of Kisses.
Yeah, the Lord of Kisses. The Lord of Kisses wants to give him a whole night of kisses. he loves that big red newly boy so much. But my real number three is just the final scene. Laris's kind of little Chaos as a Ladder monologue, just because there's so much, you know, a monologue in Game of Thrones is never a good thing. And you see all like the death that's going on and all the sadness that's happening. And he's just kind of like, isn't this great what I'm doing? How great am I? Like, and just that final scene with him saying like, you'll reward me one day when you feel it right. And just, he's just so confident in what he's done. He literally just killed his own family. And it didn't seem like he had a very bad relationship with Harwin, at least because the last episode, the two of them were just like hanging out and being bros. We didn't really get to see him interact with Lionel that much, but it's just kind of messed up that he's just very like, I killed my family for you, my queen. And, Otto's going to come back and it's going to be super dope.
Yeah. You don't got to do it right now, but just saying, here's my Venmo. Mm-hmm.
Here's my Venmo. So I'm just going to leave that here.
Can I take this flower?
It's at Club Footnit. Sorry.
He's going to start his own brothel called Club Foot. Yes. You'll be pounding your hands and feet at Clubfoot
in no time. Andy, what's your number three?
My number three is Rhaenyra's walk of indignity after giving birth to her newest child, and the one take, the acting was absolutely phenomenal from Emma Darcy and the guy that's playing the older Laenor. I thought, well, specifically Emma Darcy, like there's so much going on, like so much like political intrigue, pain, emotions as a mother, like her hormones have to be going off the fucking charts. She literally just gave birth like 2 minutes before that. And then just the way that they did it, this really long oneer and, all of the implications of the people that they're having to walk past and where they're going and why they're going there. I thought that it was extremely well done.
Absolutely. My number three is the fight in the courtyard between when the kids are training, specifically the part where Kristen gets punched by Harwin many, many times in a satisfying way. If you've been privy to the internet discourse, we love us some Harwin. We do not like us Kristen. Mm-hmm. And so that was, I feel like that scene was for the people, even though they filmed it before they knew how much we would feel that way.
And Harwin was the people's champ.
I just thought that was a great, and like you said, Steve, it's so unfortunate and so sad that the kids are being roped into all these politics and just being, you know, utilized that way as like little chess pawns. And so there was that dynamic with Viserys looking on, just trying to not understand what's going on as much as he can. And, you know, every dynamic about that, I thought it was very well done. Love that scene. Steve, what's your number two?
That's my number two for all the reasons you just said. Yeah. I can't really add much more other than like, it was just, I love the politics that are at play. Like Chris, I don't love it. It's really tragic that Kristen's using these kids and Harwin's just trying to stick up for his own kids and that gets him killed essentially.
Yes.
Which is pretty awful, but hey, them's the rules in Westeros. Mm-hmm. Andy?
My number two is the "you are the challenge" conversation between Alicent and Aegon II. I just thought that the performance one from what's the actress's name that has
Olivia Cooke.
Olivia Cooke. The performance from Olivia Cooke in this sequence was fantastic. It was the really interesting situation during which it happens. Like this is right after the jerk off scene and right mm-hmm. after the conversations that we had about the infidelity of the queen or of the princess, with Kristen Cole and,
the king. But I thought that, it was really powerful when she's like screaming at him, like, he's like, I won't challenge. And she's like, you are the challenge. Like, your life might be forfeit because of this. And one day you are going to be king. And, you have to basically start acting like, stop jerking off on the little people.
Yeah. Stop doing that.
Quit it.
That's weird. Stop it. She's going to get a spray bottle and start spraying it whenever he gets near windows. Like, no.
He just hisses at her.
He starts jerking off again. Bad kids. Oh, no, he's making eye contact with me. Stop it.
You're going to be king one day. Very soon.
You can't do that on the Iron Throne.
My number two is the, birth walk that Andy talked about for his number three. I just thought that was such an incredible feat, a Herculean effort that would take to even stand up immediately, much less walk all the way up there and try to maintain composure and be nice to people. Nod. Oh, thank you. Yes. And be polite to the queen. And it just shows so much. And I'm always a sucker for a wanner, always, every single time. You're going to get me. So that was well done. But yeah, just it shows so much about her character, how stubborn she is, how capable she is, and that she's going to maybe not be somebody you want to piss off. Maybe that might be a bad idea because she'll go to great lengths to save face and do what's needed for her family. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. I'm a Rhaenyra simp.
Yes,
till
you
I
are.
Die. Team Black till 100%, I die. 100%. Mr. Steve.
My number one is the death of Laena. Gone too soon. This whole episode was like, man, this character is really cool. I really like her. I like the energy she's bringing with Daemon. But then when she has the scene where she's like, you know, she's having this rough, pregnancy birth and, you know, Daemon, it adds so much to both her character, but also Daemon's character. Cause like you said, he doesn't do what Viserys does and she goes out on her own terms and we get to see Vhagar, which is something I've been wanting to see for so long. And not only do we get to see this dragon, we get to see the dragon participate in like an incredibly heartbreaking scene with this poor woman just going through fucking hell and trying to go out on her own terms. And I did look it up. The actress's name is, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, Nana Blondell.
Okay.
And I'm looking at her IMDb and she doesn't have that many like major credits.
Well, she about to get a whole lot more.
But yeah, I think she's about to get a whole bunch more because she really, really crushed it in this. I guess I think this is the only episode she's been in.
Yes.
And she did a really, really stellar job. So, you know, gone too soon. But it gets my number one.
Yes. Andy, your number one.
My number one is the training fight between the kids and Harwin knocking the shit out of Kristen. There's just so much foreshadowing going on there with the kids being forced to fight each other at the behest of the adults and for their political reasonings. Also, I thought it was really interesting the way the fight went down. Even though Jacaerys was much younger and much smaller, he's a little hard ass, and even though he got knocked down, like, he came back swinging hard and was starting to like get the better of Aegon. Got up again. And stuff.
You're never gonna keep him down.
Yeah,
he gets knocked down.
Mm-hmm. Chumbawamba.
And then just the fan service of Kristen Cole, who is the most punchable person, was the most punchable person until Aegon appeared in this episode. But goddamn, it felt good to see him get beaten the shit out of. Mm.
Maybe that's the real reason why Kristen Cole likes hanging out with Aegon so much, because like when he's next to him, it's like, oh, I'm not the most punchable person in the room.
I am number two.
Yeah, I'm going to keep this kid alive.
100%.
Chris?
My number one is the death of Laena Valyrian, or I guess Targaryen, now that she's married to Daemon. I did not expect that in any way, shape, or form, the suicide by dragon maneuver that she did. And like when she knelt, the pain on her face, her performance was so powerful. And she looked up at Vhagar's massive visage and just said, you know, and wailed Dracarys, and, you know, the confused dragon who loves her looking back like, Jacuzzi. That was just such a, and honestly, as sick as it sounds, I mean, the shot was gorgeous of the, when it cut to Daemon's POV and like her little body and the engulfed in flame and the dragon and the silhouette and incredible. I thought it was just damn good television. Very well done. Very powerful. And again, that's my first tear I've shed in House of the Dragon, certainly. And there hasn't been many in all of, as much as it's my favorite show of all time, I don't think Game of Thrones made me cry very often. Cause I knew most of the stuff that was about to happen from the books. So anyway, that's my number one. Now it's time for the Mummer's Dragon, who we're going to give our Streamy Award for the best performance of episode 6 of Hot D. Steve, who are you giving it to?
This one is a really hard one. There were two people that definitely stand out above everyone else. And I was really kind of thinking, you know, who deserves it most? And I'm falling on Team Black on this one. I'm giving it to Emma Darcy. Because I really wanted to give it to Olivia Cooke as well, because I think both of these
actresses, or Nana.
Or Nana, yeah. Like they all are crushing it. But I was really, really impressed with both Olivia and Emma. But I think the thing that really kind of clinched it for me for Emma Darcy was in the scene when Harwin is saying goodbye to his sons, who don't know that they're his sons. And then he looks at Rhaenyra, and you can tell, like, she's just trying to keep it together because she can't say, like, I'm going to miss you, dude, that I am having a relationship, but no one knows about, not even my kids. I can't say that in front of my kids. And the way she kind of visually, you can see her getting that struggle across on her face is so well done.
Yeah.
And that's not even to mention the amazing wonder in the opening episode, which right. is like, you know, just giving up, having birth and walking up these stairs and being resolute and powerful. She is the dragon. Right. So in a show full of amazing performances, I just really have to give it to Emma Darcy on this one.
Absolutely. Andy.
Also, Emma Darcy, for all the reasons that you said, even just the performance and the range of emotion from the childbirth scene. And she wins the award for the first minute of this episode. Mm. And never mind everything else that we got. The long wonder afterward and all of the small little things that she got to do as part of that. But then also the tearful goodbye, the knowing conversations between her and Laenor, and she crushed it. I also would have loved to have said Olivia Cooke because she was incredible. Yeah. Also, I just felt like Emma Darcy was given a lot to do in this, and she knocked it out of the park with all of it.
A lot of her stuff was subtle as well. Like she's trying to pretend she's not feeling anything, but she is feeling those things. Whereas a lot of Olivia Cooke stuff was more overt. Like married, I'm angry. Honestly, I'm mad. Yeah. I'm telling people. And you mentioned earlier the scene where she's telling Aegon, like, you are the cause. Like that's a fucking powerful, that's some powerful acting right there. Mm-hmm. She crushed it. But yeah. Sorry, I just want to make sure people know Olivia Cooke is also great.
Olivia Cooke, repping it. But I'm going to go with Emma Darcy as well. And I'm always...
A rare three-way?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have the three-way tie.
Skyline Chili.
Steve really wanted to push a fucking button.
I didn't know what button to press for that.
Just press one. Yeah!
Three-way.
Yes, three-way. look forward to our coverage on House of the Dragon Episode 7 coming next Monday. We've got a bunch of episodes dropping this week. If you're a big fan of the show, many. You want to listen to them all. We got some Andor talks with Steve and I.
Andor's coming out tomorrow.
Baby. And we've got some, what else we got? Some Labyrinth? No, that's a Patreon only.
Whiplash is coming out Wednesday.
That's right. Whiplash from 2014. And then, of course, Saturday, our Rings of Power Episode 6 coverage, followed by... Like I said before, more Hot D, baby. Mm-hmm.
But you can listen to Labyrinth if you join the Patreon.
You can indeed. Go to patreon.com/streamingthings and sign up for a variety of tiers to get a variety of benefits, and including being on the show, which Gabe took advantage of. He's on our Whiplash episode. He made us watch that movie. But tons of good stuff on there. Follow us on Twitter at StreamThingPod and email us at any time if we missed anything you want to talk about from this episode or any others. StreamingThingsPod@gmail.com is the way to let us know. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
I'm Andy. And I'm still the Lord of Kisses.
And I... I'm Chris still.
I'm still it. Andy. And I'm Steve now.
Fuck. And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming. The new patron shout out. Thank you for your patronage.
You have a beautiful voice.
I don't think I do.
Aww. It's
pretty good.
Don't be so hard on yourself, buddy.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. Would smash. Well, we're doing patron shout outs differently this time, guys. We're going to do them once a month, and this recording will last the entire month. But in this month, we will go over the new patrons that sign up for the month and also the patrons who upgraded their tiers that month as well. Mm. Are you excited to find out the cool people that, that did such a thing?
I'm very excited.
All right. So let me introduce to you our brand new patrons for the Try Before You Deny tier. It's Aaron Layton and Crystal Trujillo.
Woo! Hi, friends.
In the Marty P VIP tier, it's Josh and Anna.
Marty B.
What did I say?
Marty P.
Oh, Marty B, excuse me. How fucking dare you? I've been here for how long and you miss me? You don't know my name.
The entire time, sir.
You've given me a terrible wound.
What if Marty B's like a Marty P, man?
Well, our new chocolate pudding producers, we have Alex Fisher, Brittany Deck, and Versyco. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm surely not.
Probably not, man.
Jen L, Jess R, Mandy Spears, Shannon Myers, and Zach Suthers. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, friend.
Thanks, muchachos.
And our final new patron in the Friends Don't Lie tier, we have Colin P. Frost. Thank you, Colleen.
Another P, man.
Thank you so much. Now we go into the upgrades.
That's the road less traveled, man.
These are the people that gave us money before, and we thought, hey, what about more money for these guys? Because they're just so giving and full of mirth.
Mirth,
all of it. These people upgraded to the Try Before You Deny tier.
Try Before You Deny, man.
Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Casey McCain, John Collins, Kalisha Reeves, Kate Kiki, and Will Nash. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
And then these people upgraded to the Marty B VIP section. Thank you, A. Wells, Adam Horn, Adam Raymond, R.K. Shenanigans, Barb, Caleb Jeter, Carmelita Valdez McCoy. I love saying your name fully, Carmelita, because it's so cool. Chloe Richardson, Cindy Miller Ray, Elizabeth Hubbard, Enza, Jimmy Gadd, John Madden, like the John Madden. Isn't he dead?
Yes.
Well, they
thought dead,
but he's on the cover of Madden 23.
And now he's here to write X's and circles over footage of football players. Thank you, Jadinglage. Thank you.
Jadinglage.
Morgus. Thank you, Katie Blair. Kayla Hickens.
it's me.
The French Oak. thank you, Lisa L. Marcus Mills. Michelle Moore. Nick Nolte. Nicole Cassis. Paola Garcia. Sean Callahan. Stephanie Pagalis. Suzanne Rode. And Sydney Day. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.
And good night.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.